JG2. Number 8B.
Do we see that? Is that clear? All right, it is, I know, very logical. And then looking at the survey in a Christianity is always what Mrs. Eddy says, it's the outcome, doesn't she? So Christianity is the outcome of when principle is declaring its nature. First of all, its universal realm of idea, when principle is declaring its divinely holographic universe, that declaration of what that holographic universe is therefore always coming out of its own self-existent. It's always being expressed through its own self, through its own channels. And the outcome, that holographic universe is therefore, because it's a hologram, it's always as itself. Can't be as anything else, can it? It's always as itself. Therefore, the outcome is always as the input, so to speak. And that, of course, is something that we can see, that the result of the operation is always as the principle itself. And then, of course, using that cybernetic terminology of input, process, output, and feedback, where Paul Davies shows us that even today, the scientists are seeing that there's a fourfold fundamental process going on in being, which they call input, arrow, output, arrow, meaning input, process, output, feedback. They already acknowledge that there is a tremendous fourfold expression going on when they're working with laws, as we can talk about later on. But anyhow, we see that in any age, they always use, therefore, the seem to be interested in the technology of the age and use it as a metaphor. For just example, the age previous to the one we live in, the Newtonian age, was always talking about the clockwork universe, because Newton's laws of motion and laws of gravity really were such that the whole was equal to the sum of its parts, and we were dealing with a clockwork universe as a metaphor. Today, the computer is used as a metaphor. And everything we do, we talk in computer terminologies. Therefore, as Max showed, we could see in the divinely cybernetic process, of which the computer is an example, that as the word principle is declaring what its holographic universe is out of itself, out of its own self-declaration, therefore it is inputting its nature into being, isn't it? It's inputting what it is. As a Christ, it is processing what it is. And as Christianity, the outcome is always as the input on divine science. So therefore, for if it inputs the information, if principle is inputting the information and data about bringing out its universal reflection, then it's inputting on this level the correct information of its universal idea. That is, and it is being brought out through its channel, and therefore on this level the outcome can only be that universal idea. And therefore, as we see at the point of science, why is this whole operation going on anyhow, would we say? Why does principle want to show forth its universal idea at this point? Does principle need to be enlightened? Okay, for the glory, I think, of itself. I don't know if enlightenment is such a good term here. The human is enlightened. That's kind of the way mind comes to, we'll see on the word order, when mind comes to the human as the all-intelligent, all-knowing mind, it has the impact as enlightenment. It's too much of a translated form, I think, to use on the level of divine science, Dick. I think we stick to those terms of divine science, and therefore much more what you were saying, for the glory of itself, as we have here, for really for itself, for its glory, for its own, for its own glory, just for the glorification of God, for the glorification of the universal idea. That's it's glorying itself, and the more one thinks about it, that sense of glorification is wonderful because it's just glorifying in what it is as the divinely holographic universe, isn't it? So, therefore, we see that this is showing us then in being that principle on the level, if we just take now briefly before our break, then that standpoint on the level of science itself, we have the law, that principle is its own infinite principle. And we saw then that the is its own infinite is the invariable. It was a sense of relationship that never changed. Now within that infinite, that principle being its own infinite principle, within that infinite withinness up on the science of itself level that includes its idea, within that infinite withinness, that principle is always operating, therefore, out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. It's a fourfold operation that is bringing forth its ideational universe. That its principle is always showing it, putting the input of what the ideational universe is through itself, and it's as itself and for the glory of itself. Do we see that? Are there any questions? It's clear, I think. Okay, good. Yes, so we go on and see that wonderful statement that Mrs. Eddy makes in Genesis, the 15th chapter, that has that tonality, overall tonality of divine science, where she's showing on page 519.4, just really what is happening with the play between science itself and divine science, and we know, we just love how she uses the economy of words. If anyone had to state this beautiful subject in a linear way in the textbook, or let me correct that. If anyone had to state a multidimensional theme in a linear way, as she had to in the textbook, she certainly did it according to the economy of words, and certainly being a poet that she was, everything is always stated so exactly and beautifully. And this is certainly under the marginal heading, the perfection of creation, where she's showing this flow from science itself to divine science, and then outward, eventually onward to absolute Christian science, including Christian science. But here where she shows that the spiritual creation, or we could say the universal idea, or the divinely holographic universe of divine science, was the outgrowth and the emanation of his infinite self-containment in immortal wisdom. This is terrific. So she just paints that beautiful picture with words, that how out of the infinite self-containment of principle being its own infinite principle, and within that containing its own infinite mind, its own infinite immortal wisdom, comes the spiritual creation, comes the universe, divine science. And how does that principle bring forth that universe? Out of itself, through itself, as itself and for the glory of itself. That's divine science, and that's its message. Never leaving itself. So, therefore, we see then that this process that happens, where that principle is always operating and bringing forth its creation, then we could say that in cybernetic terminology, we can say from divine science, therefore, that principle is always inputting out of itself, let's say, that principle out of its own origin, out of its own source, is always inputting the data of its universal idea, of its universal realm, of its universe. And it's bringing that image forth through its own channels. So the outcome is always as what it had in mind, its own universal idea for the glory of itself. So we have on that level that whole reflex system then of what we would call as the word, the input, the Christ, the process, Christianity, the output, and science, the feedback. So if we take a look at the structure of the law, we see then that it is principle operating principle, or capital being operating capital being. And I think Shirley asked why then the being operating being isn't a lowercase. Because being operating being is principle, God, that we have on the level of science itself. It's that same principle which is being its own infinite principle on science itself, is now principle operating principle. And so being is just another way of talking about principle. And any time you're talking about principle, it has to be capitalized. We're not talking about its operation. So it's capital principle operating principle, being operating being. And that's a capital being operating being. But where you get the lowercase is within the operation. And that operation brings forth the being, the universe. See? So, therefore, when it's referring to God itself or principle itself, it's always capitalized. But when it's referring to what it brings forth through its operation, it's lowercase. So, being operating being is bringing forth little being. See? All right. So, let's see how... if we stick to this, we can keep talking about it. So we've looked then at the law. And what else do we want to see on page concerning that divine science law? The factors of the law would be capital being or capital principle, operating capital principle. And therefore, that would be one, capital principle, operating two, capital principle three. And therefore, those are the elements of the law. Now, in every law, we saw that there usually is a constant or an invariable, because the definition we have of law is that a law is an invariable relationship that is going on within its elements, that these elements are in such an order that they build up an invariable relationship. So what is the relationship that never varies on the level of divine science? Operates, all right? And so therefore that relationship, which is, and its idea is one, that operational sense of oneness, that infinite withinness, never varies, does it? That's always a constant. But what could we say? Staying within the tonality of the level, not varying outside the tonality of the level, but staying within the logic of the level of divine science. What can we vary, yet still stay within the logic of the level? Just to talk about it. And varying is a, I know, a funny word, but what can vary for as an elaboration of the law or the rules of application of the law? As a rule of application, what can vary? No, the operation is invariable. The operation we just said was the invariable because it is the constant. But what can vary? Principle, okay.
Seven
synonyms?
Being,
principle, all right. That's all saying it. So therefore, what varies is always, of course, that we can talk about principle according to its nature, can't we? Principle is operating principle. So Dave said so rightly, he said then for principle means the seven synonymous terms because that's the nature of principle. Principle is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we can say principle as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is operating principle as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, can't we? And we don't feel we've changed the color of the law, have we? No, it's just a rule of application is the variable. All right, so in order to make that law become alive, we say, all right, then that principle is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. Now, when we say that that principle is operating out of itself, out of its own self-existent and through itself, through its own self-expression and as itself, as its own self-fulfillment for the glory of itself, we have to ask, what are the root symbols that allow us to explain that standpoint? Now, I ask this because it's very meaningful in understanding the model of being. And because in understanding the structure of the model of being on the West Coast, I was asked, why do we bring in mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love on divine science when they don't appear on the model of being?
Principle doesn't know
what? Well, but is that a true statement? See, you're assuming that's a true statement and say, well, and try to answer that statement is true. Is that a true statement that I made that the synonyms don't appear on the level of divine science? And therefore we have to answer that question? They're implied. Okay, and they're implied insofar as we showed they're implied because principle is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We can't break up principle as being mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, can we, Miriam? Huh? And we can't break up the. Therefore, it's implied, isn't it? So why is there just life, truth, and love on this level?
Because that's nature.
Well, the nature is mind, spirit, and soul. Life, truth, and love is its essence.
It's because it's the only life, the only truth, the only love.
All right, it's the only life, the only truth, and the only love, but what does that have to do with this law?
Well,
that's good, Mary.
Well, we're just explaining it a little more.
All right, all right.
We have to write it in there because it's...
All right, it's implied where, Mary? That's right, it's implied where?
In each,
you're right. Just say it clearly.
Life is out of itself.
Good.
And the truth.
Uh huh.
Through itself.
Okay.
And Christianity is itself. And
Which is what?
The glory.
And you said truth, and then because Christianity is as itself, it is?
Oh, it's love.
Uh-huh. And because it's for the glory of itself, it is? Good. All right. Well, that's... Uh-huh, that's good. Now, that's why those symbols are there. They're symbols, symbols only. It doesn't mean that mind, spirit, and soul, principle, life, truth, and love isn't there. It's the nature of God. The nature of God is on all the levels. Mrs. Eddy said that spiritual education is always in symbols. We have to always polish. This is why I like the didactics of the Socratic method of class instruction rather than just, you know, throwing out the fishes. Because in a seminar, it makes us reason in categories, doesn't it, Mary? So Mary there was sticking to the categories, though you others said it was implied. She just, quite rightly, she said therefore that, well, that life was just a symbol for the Word. She said truth was just a symbol for the Christ, love was just a symbol for Christianity, a divine principle, love was just a symbol for science. And then we certainly see that when we were looking at the survey, didn't we? I mean, the survey we saw again was on page 64. Thank you. And if we turn again to page 64... If we see on the survey that the Word means that principle God is always declaring itself out of its own self-declaration, out of its own self-existence, out of its own infinite light in its own infinite individuality, which supra-symbol can we use in order to symbolize that happening? Life. Life is a synonymous term that allows us to say that principle God is operating out of its own self-existence. That's symbolized by life, isn't it? It's not symbolized by mind, is it? We couldn't use mind there when we're saying that principle God is operating out of its own origin, out of its own self-existent, out of its own infinite individuality. Could we use mind? It doesn't mean that. Could we use spirit? Nope. Can we use soul? Principle? Mary? Truth? No. Or love? They don't mean self-existent or individuality. Life means infinite self-existence, doesn't it, Mary? The only symbol that can symbolize the fact that principle is operating out of its own self-existence is life. What's important is that it's operating out of its own self-existence, which is symbolized by life. Okay? Then when that principle wants to bring forth its universe through its own channel, through its own self-operation, through its own self-expression, through its own ideal, its own truth, which synonymous term allows us to talk about that tonality? Truth. Mind doesn't, does it? Spirit, soul, principle, life, love? No, truth. Okay? When we want to be able to speak that the outcome of that operation is always as itself, as its own self-fulfillment, as its own pure reflection, which synonymous terms let us say that it's as its own pure reflection? Love, not mind or spirit or soul or principle or life or truth, but love. And then when we say, and it's for the glory of itself, for its own self-reflex, for its own self-divine self-understanding of itself as a universal idea, that is used as then the divine principle, which is love. Huh? Do you see? So these symbols of life, truth, and love, and divine principle, love, are just symbols to talk about what's happening on that level. It's a law of which is a closed system law. That law on divine cyber, on that level isn't broken up into many facets of that law. It is a closed system law. It flows as input, process, output, and feedback. And so it is the law of life, truth, and love, which is the triune principle, the divine principle, love. It's a flow. And that which is letting us talk about how principle God presents its ideational universe as symbolized through that fourfold flow of the law. And we know, therefore, that law of life, truth, and love, and divine principle love, there it covers a multitude of phenomenon which is going on within that level, doesn't it? And therefore, we'll see what that multitude of phenomenon is going in with on within that level when we use our method of application and begin to vary, use our variables. We begin to see what it is implied when this principle is bringing forth its ideational universe. So when we take the option of using our variables, which we can to divine science, and this isn't any concession because the synonymous terms certainly are part of this level, then when we see that we can vary principle through its nature as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, operating principle as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in the three factors of one principle, two operates, three principle, we can set up therefore a structure for this law.